Who was your father?
Henry Smith.
And your mother was?
Mary Elizabeth Smith, and she was Mary Bolin.
Bolin, all right. Do you remember any further back than your parents? Do you remember the grandparents on either side?
Oh, I knew my grandmother well, Nancy Hester.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a Harper.
Nancy Harper Hester.
That's right.
Okay.
And
we like to get all the family names in we can. You know where they came from?
Well, now I've been told, but I don't know too much about this, that they homesteaded 600 acres, the Howard Grove community over in there, you know. The Howards are Elizabeth Harrell's grandmother and my grandmother were sisters. Aunt Louise Howard, all the Howards belong to out there in that community.
So you have to admit being kin to Elizabeth Howard.
I'm kin to all the Howards, all the Harpers, a lot of the Stories, and the Hesters. Not too many of them, but my grandmother had three sisters, and they married, one of them married a Greer. All the Greers are my relatives.
Mm-hmm.
Aunt Rachel Greer was her name, or what mother called her. And Bill English married one of my grandmother's sisters, Elizabeth. And Granville Roundtree married one of them.
All names from the British Isles.
And Aunt Louise Howard was my grandmother's sister, and she's the grandmother of all these Howards around here.
You know Joe Burt?
Yeah, but we're not related to them.
That's a different set.
That's a different set of Howards.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, now we have you born, we have your relatives pretty well in mind, I guess, and we'll ask you where you went to school.
I went to school at Wilson Ridge. My daddy gave the corner of the farm over there, and they built a schoolhouse on it, and I went there. That's where I got all my education.
Mm-hmm. Back in those days, there were about, as I remember, somewhere around 50 grade schools in Marshall County. Nobody had to walk farther than, say, about 3 miles.
Well, I walked about half a mile, but I'd go home for my lunch back to play.
You had an advantage, though.
I was close.
Your relative gave the land for the school.
My daddy gave the land for the school.
Very good. Do you remember any of the teachers you had?
Oh, yes, there's one still living, Homer Ford. And Miss Donna Edwards was the first teacher that I went to, and that was 1904 because I followed my brother and sister to school every day they went from the time I could walk on.
Well, they didn't have to hog-tie you and get you in school.
No,
you started when you were 4 years old.
I didn't have to be hog-tied to getting anything and everything that come along. I was in it. And I went, let's see now, let me think. Miss Donna Edwards and Homer Ford and Lula Lenny Ford, who married a Jenkins, that was Homer's sister. And Miss Lula Ford married Mr. Hall, and they all boarded at our house. Mother always had to board the school teachers, and that made it hard on me because they'd go home and tell things on me. And
you had to behave all that time.
And John Gillihan, and he hasn't been dead too long, but Homer's still living.
Yes, I know Homer Ford. And
he taught there, I think, 1908. I've got pictures, school groups of all that.
All right. What did you like most in school?
Oh, I liked playing ball and ratting around like that better than I did the studying. But my main interest was geography. I never cared for history. I didn't care what had passed and already gone, but I was wild about geography.
Oh, I wish I had you in some of my radio announcing classes. Some of our people don't know the state of Washington from Washington, D.C.
I studied my geography. I had good geography lessons.
Yeah. Did you ever get into any spelling bees?
Oh, yeah, but not to amount to anything. I wasn't too good at spelling.
How was the discipline back in those days? Did you have to sit pretty straight in school, or could you do as you pleased?
No, they kind of watched us, you know, when we got out of line, which is pretty strict.
Mm-hmm. You never did have a whipping?
I could tell one little incident on the whipping I had, but I better not tell it on this tape.
We'd love to hear it. You didn't commit murder.
No, but almost. we played ball. And that was when Miss Lula Hall was teaching. And I went home for my lunch. So I ran out the door, me and another little girl, about the same time, and I beat her to the outside toilet, you know, that we had. And when I went in and shut the door on her, she called me a son of a bitch. I was about 8 years old, or 10, about 10, I guess, then. And so when I come out, she was standing there, and I mean, I knocked her winding. I just hit her with all the power I had. I just turned her upside down. And the kids come and hollering, you know, and Miss Lula come running out there. And she says, "All right, you've got to stay in now, the lunch hour." I said, "Miss Lula, I can't stay in because I've got to go home for my lunch." She said, "Okay, you take a whipping or stay in." And this other little girl, Bessie Thompson was her name, she says, "Well, I'll stay in. I said, "Well, I'll take the whipping." So I turned around and she spatted me one time, went through my clothes and everything, you know, and shoved me off towards home. And I went on home. When I come back, why, this little girl was still inside, and they said that she'd give her the office whipping there was because she sassed her and throwed a fit, you know. So that was about
your life. Whipping wasn't all that hard.
I didn't even feel it.
Oh, I'll tell you, I made a mistake one time. I was going to school at Stone in Callaway County, and we ran off playing fox and dogs, and I was the fastest runner in school. I'd won the track championship in Callaway County in the meet at Alamo. So I played the fox, and instead of just coming back when lunch hour was over, we was about an hour late. Well, the teacher whipped us. And he gave us pretty good little paddling, but I was going to show out. The teacher's name was Hugh Hurt. And he's still living. He may hear this tape. He said, "Well, how'd you like that?" And in my sassiest fashion, I said, "I didn't even feel it."
Oh.
Well, I tell you, he let me feel it that time. Just about wore me down so much I couldn't sit down for a while.
Well, that was my only whipping. And
a while ago, you mentioned you liked to play games and so on. Tell us about some of those games.
Well, there was two of us larger girls that played baseball. And that was what I was rushing back to get to be on the baseball team with the boys, you know. The mm-hmm. boys didn't have enough for a team, and me and the daddy girl was on the baseball team. So that's why I was hurrying home. We played handkerchief and Wolf Over the River and Hopscotch, and we'd mark off these big things, you know, in the lane down there in the dirt, and Hopscotch, whatever, hop ourselves to death, and the boys would
jump the rope,
shoot marbles and jump the rope, and they'd trip you and throw you down and skin your shins and all that stuff of jumping the rope, you know.
Mm-hmm. But life was fun.
Oh, I didn't.
Carefree.
I never had a dull minute. Never.
All right, when you finished school and let's see, you'd have probably been, of course you started at 4, you graduated.
I just graduated when I got ready to quit. I was about 14 or 15.
Tell us about some of the experiences you had courting.
Well, I started courting pretty young, but the one I really wanted to go with, my parents didn't like him, so that's the one I married 45 years later, second time,
mm-hmm.
and the Kennedy. And I started going with Lloyd. He was section foreman over there, had been since 1907, and I was born in 1900, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to going together in the horse and buggy days. First dates he had with me, it was a horse and buggy.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got promoted to a Model T. And
did you think he was, when he got that Model T, he was a real
sport? Oh, yes, then. And I was afraid of the old horse he drove because she'd stand up on her hind legs every time he done hitch her and every time he'd turn her loose. And I was scared to death, so I was glad. I'd rather walk or go anyways to riding that buggy.
Did you have any children?
One daughter, Ruby Skelton. And she works for TVA and been with them about 16 years.
Are there any grandchildren?
Two grandsons. Mm-hmm. And one of them's got two little girls.
Oh, you're...
It was with me yesterday all day.
Great grandchildren.
One 9 and one... 5.
9 and 5. Well, they're getting right on up. Well, you had a good life, and then your husband died.
My husband died. He was on the railroad 42 years, and he passed away in 57. And then I married Kennedy then, and that was my childhood sweetheart that they didn't want me to go with. And I married him in 1959. He lived 6 years. And
you've been a widow since
that
time.
I've been by myself half of my life, really.
But you have a beautiful home here, right in the heart of everything. In Calvert, you're close to the bank, the post office.
That's right. I've got it all right here where I'm walking distance.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. What did your... father do for a living? Was he a farmer?
He was a farmer. And he gave the right of way for the railroad, both railroad tracks across this farm. I drew a map of it the other day. I want to tell you about it for sure. The first thing that went across it was the railroad, IC railroad track. I don't think they called it that then, but anyway. And then come the double track, you know. He gave that across it, all the way across the length of the field it lay in a almost a perfect square from 282 to over to the railroad.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come up with this little government dredge ditch draining the swamp up there. Open Pond Bottom, we always called it. Where Holiday Inn is and all that.
Yes.
And they brought it down through our place. With a little dredge boat, you know, floating itself.
Which that improved the value of the land for farming, didn't it?
No.
Oh, it didn't?
It turned all that swamp stuff down on the farms, and it was supposed to go on to, if it had worked out like it was supposed to, it would have been fine. It was to go to the river, but they got over here at Cypress Creek, and the elevation of the river was higher than the ditch, so it stopped it. And it's still sitting there that way and been that way for all these years, and they've got it up now. A bunch of them is organized. They're still trying to get it cut on through to the river. I don't know if they'll have any luck or not, since all the plants and everything's in there. But that was the third thing. Then the TVA power lines come across it, another direction across it. And then the Texas gas bought half of the place, and they come across the part that I still own. And Then here just not long ago, this other set of power lines had come across it in another direction. I stood in there the other night and drew off a map, marked it off, you know, which way they went and how they went, and it looked like a crossword puzzle of some kind.
Yes.
And that's all been taken off the place.
Changed.
And the highway, this new highway that come across, you know, about 1523,
yes.
we gave that right away for that. And then they moved 282, it was down under the hill, and they brought it up on top of the hill, so that was another strip off of that place.
Did I-24 get any of it?
No.
What was life like for a young farm girl? Did you have to work on the farm any?
I didn't have to, really, but I did. I was into everything, rode the mules back and forth, and them sweaty and hot, and I'd run a half a mile to get over there to get to ride the mules back to the house.
You liked that better than you did housework.
Oh, yeah, I still don't like housework. That's the reason, you can tell that. I'm out. Quick as I can get out of the morning, I'm out.
You have a garden?
Oh, yes, I have a garden every year.
The drought's bad this time.
I've had lots of tomatoes and peppers, and I just planted it, you know, just a little. It wasn't even broken or anything.
What did your dad grow on the farm?
Well, he grew wheat and tobacco and peas and corn and you name it, we had it in the garden. Mother had all kinds of gooseberries and raspberries and stuff like that around the garden fence. Our garden fence was kept just as clean as the main garden because that was where all of her off-brand stuff was, you know, all the berries and it, and we had a huge orchard because the old man came in here from Missouri selling fruit trees and he'd stay at our house. My daddy'd go with him to help sell the trees, you know, and he'd always give him a lot of fruit trees and things that, unusual things, you know. In our orchard we had these peach apricots growing, which nobody else had. We had the plum apricot, a great big old freestone plum, and we had different kinds of peaches, half a dozen different kinds, and that many different kind of apples. And plums, just thickets of them, you know, where the people come in there.
Did you ever hear of a quince?
Mother had a quince tree, and I had it up there in my yard for a long, long time, a sprout from the same old tree. I've got the same old honeysuckle vine growing out here that was at our old place up on the railroad.
My great-great-grandmother had what she called a sarvice bush.
We had sarvice trees all along the fence. We had a white mulberry. We had a red mulberry.
Well, you were kind of...
And a walnut grove that wouldn't quit.
It's sort
30
of
or 40 trees in it.
A demonstration farm almost.
Well, it would be now, yes, if it is back.
Did you have type 23 dark fired tobacco?
We raised dark fired tobacco, and I've done every part of it from the time the hills was made and carry the manure bucket and throw a handful of manure in it to hanging it in the barn. And I rode to Paducah on a load of tobacco when I was 10 years old with my brother.
And you've wormed it?
Wormed it, suckered it, topped it, sprayed it, hoed it.
She's been there.
I've been there.
That's
don't
good.
Think I have.
Did you like hog killing?
Yeah, and I still go to them. I go to a Divine's hog killing, and I've been going for about six generations of them Divine's. They always borrow my old wash kettle. They always borrowed it, and they'd take me along to go with the kettle. So I still go to Red Divine's to hog killing. I did last year.
They give you any sausage? Or?
I brought part of all of it. I'd bring half of the hog home every time.
Good.
What I didn't bring home, he'd bring it to me later.
Now, you said your husband worked on the railroad, your first husband. Did you ever fly up and go to Detroit like a lot of people?
No. He went to work when he was 17-year-old out there on the railroad, and they lied about his age to get him because he was a big, stout, healthy man and willing to work. Even the supervisor misrepresented his age to get him get him on there, and he stayed right there on that track till he died. Mm-hmm. He's retired with a heart condition.
Yes.
And we took up fishing that 8 year that he lived after he was retired from the railroad, and I was always fish crazy.
You remember when Marshall County was wet with, I'm talking about the alcohol thing, were there any roadhouses in the area?
Well, they had the nearest thing to a roadhouse that I knew anything about in Marshall County was a Griggs's place out here, Walter Griggs, called it a honky-tonk. And then there was one down here at, I guess that is in McCracken County, the Bloody Bucket, they called it, down, you know, as we go into Paducah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't frequent them much. I done well if I got to go to a dance in somebody's house. If it was a play party, it is all right for me to go, and them old boys pick you up and swing you all over the house and carry you plumb out the door. But if there's music and there's a dance, then I wasn't supposed to go. Mm-hmm. So I've told more lies about that than any other one thing.
Well, did you go to church much? Was that entertaining back then?
I joined this Methodist church in 1915, and I'm still in it, and I've never been in any other church. Baptized in Tennessee River.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've heard them talk about some of the towns. They'd have preaching, say, once a month, and then by going to two or three different places, they'd hear preaching about every Sunday.
Well, now, we occasionally would have a preacher that would come and preach up in the schoolhouse,
mm-hmm.
Brother Nation, and we'd have a prayer meeting over in the schoolhouse.
You remember any other preacher's names?
And we had, I'll tell you one thing, the first Church of Christ preacher that ever preached in Calvert City was, they built a bush arbor, my brother and these preachers helped, down there in our woods, and they carried on this revival down there in my dad's
brush arbor.
Brush arbor.
Mm-hmm.
I know right where it said, I could go right there and put my foot on the very spot that brush arbor set on.
It wouldn't have been Wiley Mathis, would it?
Wiley Mathis, and who was the boy that helped him? He called him Timothy because he was a young boy, and he was my mother's relative, but I can't even think of his name.
Well, I don't know that.
Well, there was two of them, and they stayed at our house and carried on a revival down there, and that was the first one in Calvert City,
mm-hmm.
before this old church was ever even built down here.
Mm-hmm. Right, do you remember anything about your first train ride? I guess since your husband worked on the railroad, you could ride the train a lot.
I had a railroad pass since 1920.
So you remember the big steam engines, don't you?
I lived right there where they puffed it right in on me. That new house we built up there.
I take it you weren't as thrilled with steam as some of the engineers were.
Well, I always loved the trains and the railroad, and I've never lived out of sight and hearing of them. Not a day in my life have I lived anywhere where I couldn't see or hear the trains.
It's sad to me at Hardin.
Me too.
Now they've taken up the track all the way from Paducah to Hardin.
Breaks my heart to even look at it. When my husband was retired, there wasn't a tie or a rail or a ballast or anything on that road that he hadn't put there. Because he started work so young, you know.
Tell us about some of the stores around and what they were like and how they were different in the early days.
Well, now, Calvert City, when I first remember it, was on the other side of the railroad. There wasn't anything on this side. And it was a funeral home and a little grocery store and a blacksmith shop, and a little grist mill.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all on the other side of the railroad. And then the old Titchener store was set right up there on Aspen Street, facing the railroad, right in the middle of where it would be, right in the middle of the street now. And it held, the post office and a grocery store was in it. That was John Titchener's.
Mm-hmm.
And then 1912, they built that concrete store up there. That was Titchener's. And then my brother was in it for a long time, but that was later years. And then Draffin's had this, they started down here in a small building, a harness. They sold harness and stuff like that first, and then they built the big brick, you know, their store down here.
Big brick store, the first one I remember. Yeah.
Well, now, before that, they operated in one back up
this
way. That
was Luther and Mert.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that must have been about, I don't know, 1913. And Uncle Billy Wilson had a grocery store, and Barnes, old man Jim Barnes, had a grocery store. That was that before the Graffins built the new one. You know, that was Uncle Billy Wilson's was on the corner, and then Mr. Barnes's was next.
That's about the first I remember.
We had a Lander Hotel, and Miss Green run a kind of a little hotel later years, but the first hotel we had was Lander's, John Lander's.
Mm-hmm.
And the Nobles lived here, you know, Mr. John Noble and his brother, the one that donated all that property to Paducah, you know, the Noble Park and all.
Yes.
Well, now that was this woman's uncle that this house belonged to that I'm living in now.
Well, you've certainly told us a lot of things that I've never heard any other place. Those were great connections.
Well, I can't think if I take notes of things, but I don't ever do that, but I can't. I'll think of a lot of it after you leave.
When did you get a radio? You remember that?
Oh, yeah, that was, oh, my goodness, I was an old woman then. Pretty 34 or 5 or 33 or 4 or 5, somewhere along there. And they'd come, all my neighbors, the Cans and the Houstons and all of them over there would come hear the Amos and Andy program every night. We had to entertain company every night to hear the radio because there was only one on that road that had one. That is when we lived out on the old Calvert City Road there.
I can remember those days going to my Uncle Rob Jackson's about the years you've mentioned. I was a fairly small boy then. And they had a Atwater Kent long low thing with a bunch of earphones on it, and so many people would come in to listen. I believe he had 6 sets of earphones, and they'd take those earphones apart, and each person would just listen with one ear.
Well, we didn't have it that early. I mean, ours wasn't that kind. It was just a cabinet type thing. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think this had been probably bought used radio.
Yeah. And I know that my husband was such a big Cardinal fan that was on later. We'd had a radio a good long while. And he'd make me, whatever I was doing, I'd have to come in when the Cardinals was going to play a special game, you know, and take notes. So he'd know, he couldn't wait for the news that night to tell him I'd have to take notes. And I said, well, I was a pretty good Cardinal fan and didn't even want to be or didn't care that much about it. And we it got to be such an obsession with him that we bought him a battery radio, me and my daughter did, for him to take out there with him to work, you know.
Uh-huh.
So that relieved me of that job.
Well, Miss Arrow, we've have just about a minute left on our tape. Do you have anything special you'd like to put on in that?
Well,
some incidents you could tell.
Not really. Right recently, I rode a 3-wheeler over to Clear Pond. That Clear Pond is my pride and joy.
A motorcycle?
A 3-wheeler, and I didn't even know what a 3-wheeler was. This kid said he'd take me. I said I couldn't walk anymore. I've walked. I don't know how many times Clear Pond. And my mother carried me in her arms and put me on a pallet out on the bank with a mosquito bar over me, and I said she wasn't worrying about the water moccasins, but she was fixing me so the mosquitoes couldn't eat me, and I went over there straddling my brother's that was just a place for us to go when it rained. My mother loved to fish too.
Yeah.
So. But this boy told me, he said, "Ain't ever I'll take you." He said, "Can you ride a three-wheeler?" I said, "I've rode everything that had wheels and four legs and some things that didn't have legs or wheels, either one." And he says, "Well, we'll go." So
I believe you'd go down in a submarine.
I would. I'd love it. And I wanted to go in this hole that dug so bad over here at Goodrich. I just wanted to go down in that thing so bad I couldn't hardly stand it when they was digging that hole for the, you know, to put the...
Yes, sir. Well, I certainly thank you. It's been a pleasure to visit in the home of Miss Era Kennedy, right in the heart of downtown Calvert City. Our broadcast, which goes to the State Archives in Frankfort, the Murray State University Polk Library, the Marshall County Library, and paid for by Shelby McCallum of WCBL. This is Ray Mofield speaking. We now return you to our studios.